Jim Miller, Pat Kerwin, Moving the Chain, SiriusXM, NFL Radio. Good to talk to you again, Coach. A tough one last week on the road in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a place that, you know, we've struggled, obviously, for a long time. I think the game, one of the big turning points of the game is we were down 6-0. We were moving the ball at the end of the second quarter. We had a first down, I think on the 15-yard line after Stafford scrambled for a first down. That was called back with a holding penalty, and we got held to a field goal at that point. And, you know, I mean, it's only – you know, 4-point difference, but it's a big difference in going in with the lead at halftime and then being behind, you know, 6-3 at the half. And, you know, second half, you know, we didn't play well enough to win. And when you're on the road, you obviously have to do that. So, you know, we'll bounce back, you know, a new week, new challenge, and we got the Cleveland Browns this week.
Yep. Good to hear your voice, Jimmy. Thanks for joining us as always. Calvin, you know, I'm standing there at CBS on Sunday morning at we're going on the air at noon, and at 11:50 I turned to Cower and Marino and all those guys and said, I don't know about your pick segment. Calvin Johnson's not playing. And I think we were all a bit surprised. Usually I'm on top of those things. When did you – not that you had to tell us, but how much time did you have to get ready to not play with Calvin?
Well, we started getting ready on Monday following the game. You know, it's no different than any player. We have to prepare for the possibility of anybody not playing. So he's no different. We did that, you know, probably about 7 or 8 weeks last year. There were a lot of times he didn't practice, but he was able to answer the bell. This case, he wasn't. And we're not going to put a player out there that's, you know, not physically capable of going out there. And plus, we're long-term with Calvin. And we don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize his health. Whether it be short-term or long-term. So, you know, it was just one of those times. You know, a couple weeks before that, we were without Reggie Bush in a similar situation. You know, it doesn't change the challenge every week in the NFL. I mean, you're not going to have every player every week. You have to go out and you have to find a way to win regardless of, you know, who your active 46 are. And in that case, we didn't get it done. But, you know, he's getting better. We'll see what it looks like this week. We'll prepare and, you know, for all cases that happen, and we'll just see. We won't know until later in the week and as we get closer to Sunday if he'll be available to play.
Well, Coach, much similar to the question Pat asked Pete Carroll, the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, just to have a bounce-back week. I mean, what is the emphasis, point of emphasis for the Lions this week as you prepare for the Cleveland Browns?
You know, that's one of the things with the NFL. It's not tough to have a bounce-back week because the new challenge comes in front of you so quickly.
Yeah.
And reports of the demise of the Cleveland Browns team were obviously way premature. You know, they were 0-2. They had just come off a tough road loss at the Ravens, who happened to be the Super Bowl champs. And, you know, when they traded away Trent Richardson, a lot of people – mistakenly thought that they were just tanking the season and, you know, they were just going to give up their whole team and things like that. Well, obviously that wasn't the case. You know, they bounced back, won 3 in a row and come into the game 3-2. We played them in the preseason. They got our attention in the preseason. Our players know the talent that they have and the plays that they can make. So, you know, you have to move on quickly in this league because you don't have time to gloat over a win. You don't have time to feel sorry for yourself over a loss. Do you have a new job to do? And that clock starts ticking as soon as that game's over on the previous Sunday.
Yeah. I want to go a little deeper into Cleveland. I'm not starting to. I was impressed last year with Josh Gordon when I saw him and realized this guy wasn't here for any of the spring. And you know, was able to function in the NFL with almost no college experience. Now he's got plenty. What do you see when you see that guy, Jimmy?
He's big. He's fast. We played him in the preseason game. He made a couple big plays on us. We defended him on a couple, but he won a couple also. He's got great size. He's got great speed. I'm sure, like any young player, there's things that he needs to work on, and you know, things he needs to be more consistent with. But you know, when you're an opponent, you see the things he can really do, the damage he can do. He's a strong runner after the catch. He's got great size. Doesn't have to be a perfect throw for him to be able to get it. You know, they're a talented group on offense. Very good tight end in Cameron Jordan. And, Jordan Cameron. I can't. I always get that one.
Him
and the guy from New Orleans.
I know this. Whatever I say first is always the wrong one.
The number 84. That's enough. That's enough. Five touchdowns. That's enough. Everybody can call him five touchdowns because he's their leading receiver. But, you know, I think the two of those guys complement each other very well. Norv Turner's their offensive coordinator. Norv has always found a way to use tight ends, not just to move the chains and to make some plays, but to make big plays. And Jordan has done that for them. He's made a lot of big plays down the field, crossing routes, seam routes, seven routes, you know, stuff like that. And since they've had Josh Gordon back, they haven't lost a game. So, you know, I think that's a tough combination, and we're going to have our hands full on Sunday.
Well, Coach, you mentioned how in the preseason they got your attention because they are a very young, talented team, but they do have different components now. Whedon now is the starting quarterback. Willis McGahee now the running back. As you mentioned, they traded Trent Richardson, getting Gordon back. And, man, Joe Hayden is playing outstanding as a corner for this team. But just your thoughts on the players who you saw in the preseason, but yet some different components to this Browns team.
Yeah, very good defensively. You know, pretty good in just about every area. You know, they're good against the run, good against the pass. They hold the points down and all the things you look for in a defense. They haven't got a lot of interceptions, but they've knocked down a lot of passes. Good front seven that can rush the passer. You know, Mingo, the rookie's got three sacks or three and a half sacks. He's very active. Sheard has not played the last couple weeks, but he's a really talented rusher. Kruger from the Ravens, their free agent acquisition, he's a good fit for him. Phil Taylor's a big giant defensive tackle. Desmond Bryant, sort of a below-the-radar type free agent acquisition. We had played him a couple years ago with the Raiders, and we knew how talented he was, and I think he's proven that he was a good acquisition for them. You know, I think the other thing with them is their talent really fits their scheme. Even though they're only in the first year of what they're doing offensively and defensively, they found some guys that that really fit the schemes that they run, the 3-4 schemes, the zone coverage stuff that they run. I mean, Hayden, Buster Screen, those guys have really good eyes for the quarterback. Outstanding safety and T.J. Ward. I mean, they're a very talented defense. And like I said, we're going to have to play our very best on Sunday to find some holes in it.
Jimmy, the first 4 or 5 weeks, we got a chance to praise and discuss how nicely your offensive line was playing. And I didn't study this tape, so I can't make a comment on why. But for our listeners, you only gave up three sacks in 156 pass plays coming into last week. Tell me about the sacks, if you can. Were they sacks that you could direct towards someone in trouble or in blame? Tell me about those, because that was not the Detroit Lions that I've seen all year.
Yeah, you know, that was a tough matchup for us that we didn't respond real well to. We didn't run the ball very well in that game also. We took too many lost yardage runs, got sacked, took a couple penalties also. And when we won those two games in a row, we've been penalty-free on offense. And, you know, when you play on the road, you can't do anything that sets your offense back. You know, you can't be facing 2nd and 20 after a holding penalty or 2nd and 18 after a sack, you know, stuff like that. One of those sacks, you know, we had made a wrong call. We let a guy completely free. It wasn't about somebody physically not winning the matchup. But, you know, and then, you know, one of them particularly was late when we were very one-dimensional trying to catch back up in the game. But, you know, that's a matchup that when we've won, we've played well. And, you know, I think in our three wins, we've played well up front. We've run the ball effectively. We've also protected the quarterback. In our two losses, you know, we need to do a better job in both of those areas. So, you know, that's going to be a big matchup in this game, our ability to protect the quarterback, let him have time to find receivers down the field, but then also be able to run the ball and stay on track and not be faced with 3rd down and extra long or 2nd and extra long situations.
Coach, always appreciate your time. Good luck to you in Cleveland. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. Talk to you soon.
Take care, Jim. Good luck.
Jim Schwartz, everybody. Head coach of the 3-2 Detroit Lions. They head.